Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hercules Invictus and Athena Victory celebrate the mythic impulses of ancient Greece and Rome, and they invite you to celebrate with them. Welcome to Voice of Olympus.
Greetings and welcome to Voice of Olympus. This is Hercules. Athena will be joining us a little bit later, or maybe not, depending on her how her adventures are going. This is our third season, our second year, and we are focusing this season on the quest for the Golden Fleece. Every week there will be a different show that is themed around the fleece, sometimes directly with Jason Voyage and sometimes peripherally. I recently had oral surgery, so I'm still mastering speaking. So please bear with me as I undergo this process. We have an episode every week at this time from 9 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you're not listening to the show live, you can hear it archived at this same link that you're listening to it now. We have planned this month a couple of more shows. Next week is The Mystery of Theurgy with Jean-Louis DeBiase, who wrote Rediscover the Magic of the Gods and Goddesses. And then we also have our end of the month Golden Fleece Argonauts of Interfaith meeting. And there we'll be discussing another new topic in that area, and we'll be hearing from the folks at the Urantia book about the father announcing his 10-year plan. And in addition to the radio shows this month, in terms of our quest for the Golden Fleece, registration is still open at the Paramus Community Education in Paramus, New Jersey, for Gods and Realms, the Astral Realms, the Dream Realms, and the Underworld, all of which are coming in May. And we have the Creskill Public Library. We have the Voyage of the Argo. And we have two role-playing games, one on March 22nd, which is a continuation of our Voyage of the Argo prelude that we started in Creskill and Tenafly. And then on the 25th, which is New Jersey Makers Day, we'll be taking another voyage with the Argo into outer space. With both of those, we'll be focusing on Greek mythology role-playing games, notably Mythos by Gilbert Gallo. And we have also Dogs of Hades by Savage Mojo. And in addition to these, there will be also at the Creskill Public Library on March 16th, our Oracle of Dreams. And that is a Argonaut voyage into our unconscious. So what's interesting about this latter one is it's already led to some sort of waking world activism, because that spark is being born in people to approach our current political situation in a different non-political way, but to advocate for much needed action that we need in our society. So I will keep you posted on that as it comes along. Our journey to the Golden Fleece will be a year long, and it will end at the end of the year. By then, we'll have ended our fourth season. And then we'll be returning to Atlantis. Those of you who missed our first year will be setting up very soon pages with links to all our Atlantis episodes. And this way, when we return to Atlantis, all the information is available and readily accessed. Now, the Golden Fleece is a symbol of many things. It's a symbol of sovereignty. It's a symbol of divine favor. It's a symbol of regeneration and healing, and it's also a symbol of prosperity. I'll share the myth for those of you who don't know it. There was in Thessaly a young prince and princess, Phrixus and Helle. Their father was Thamos, and the mother was Nepheli, who was a cloud maiden in the visage of Hera. It happened that Athamas and his wife Nepheli started to drift apart, and Athamas fell in love with a woman named Ino, who was a daughter of Cadmus, the founder of Thebes. And Ino did not want Phrixus and Helle to inherit the kingdom. She wanted her own children to inherit the kingdom, so she did some dirty deeds, like baking all the seeds so they wouldn't sprout, and then blaming Phrixus and Helle for these disasters. And she also bribed an oracle so that it was said that they needed to be sacrificed in order to lift the curse. Nephele cried out to Olympus against this injustice, and the gods sent a golden flying ram who lifted them up from the sacrificial stone and brought them to the Colchides. Unfortunately, only Phrixus made it there alive. Helle had fallen off the ram and drowned near Troy, and those narrows today are still called the Hellespont in memory of her. So Phrixus landed in the Colchides, and there he was received by Aietes, the dragon king. Now, the Colchides were the sunrise land for the ancient Greek world. They were all the way across the Black Sea, and that was the extent of where their influence extended. So the sun rose on the Greek world in the Colchides. And Aietes, his name means eagle, and he gave refuge to Phrixus and even welcomed him into his family by marrying him off to a family member. And Aietes was the son of Helios, Titan of the sun. Now, the golden ram, his name was either Chrysomalos or Krios. Chrysomalos means golden-haired in Greek, and Krios means ram, was sacrificed to Zeus, and his pelt was hung from a tree in the nearby field of Ares. This pelt is what we call the Golden Fleece, and as we said before, it became a symbol of divine favor. It brought peace and prosperity to the Colchides, and it was guarded by a dragon that never slept. Now, when Jason and the Argonauts landed at the Colchides, claiming the Golden Fleece, Aietes was not too happy to hear this, and he put Jason through several tests, which he passed with the help of Medea, who was a priestess of Hecate, and she was also the daughter of King Aietes. So she helped him in secret, and he was asked to yoke two fire-breathing bulls, which he did with the use of some ointment she gave him so he wouldn't get burnt. He was asked to sew teeth from a dragon, which he did, and then fight the warriors that arose. And he accomplished this with the suggestion of Medea's, that he set them against each other, which he did. And if that wasn't enough, he was then given permission, having passed these tests, of trying to take the fleece from the tree. And since the dragon never slept, that was a lot harder than it sounds, and it sounds hard. So Jason, with Medea and Orpheus's help, put the dragon to sleep, and he was able to take the fleece, and then they fled with it. And disaster fell upon the house of Aietes as soon as the fleece was removed from the tree in the Garden of Ares. So the idea was to bring the fleece back to Iolcho, in Thessaly, show it to King Pelias, have Pelias step down, and Jason and Medea assume the throne of Iolcos. Jason's father and mother were the queen, but they were cast out by the usurper Pelias. And Jason was raised by the centaur Chiron. He was educated in Chiron's heroic school. And it was many of the Argonauts that were Chiron's pupils that accompanied him to get the fleece. And the fleece, we are told, was returned to Zeus in Orchomenos and given back to the gods because it brought havoc in the mortal world. Now, the fleece is related to several other symbols in Greek mythology, most notably the quest for the golden apples of the Hesperides. And even though that seems to go in another direction toward the sunset lands rather than the sunrise land, the golden apples, and apple and ram are translated, it's the same word basically, melon, and it's translated differently depending on the translation. So if you're reading about a golden apple, it could also mean the golden fleece and vice versa. So Hercules' quest to retrieve the three apples from the garden is the Hercules version of this particular myth. And it's a universal sun myth where the hero goes off to recover a talisman of the sun as part of his quest to tread the solar path and become initiate of the sun or a son or daughter of the sun. So that is what that journey is really all about. In terms of terrestrial prosperity, the golden fleece is a symbol. It is no more, it is no less. It doesn't have any magical properties beyond in the myths to heal, but it represented kingship. So having the golden fleece as a talisman of kingship let everybody know that this kingship was blessed by the gods, it was blessed by heaven. And what you can do if you're a meditator is you can meditate upon the fleece and see what thoughts it elicits in your mind. If you'd like, I can walk you through a simple meditation. Now, I want you to see yourself in a hallway. And there are columns to each side of you. This is an ancient hallway with ancient columns. And it's inside, and there are paintings on the walls and frescoes, all of them depicting scenes from the Jason and the Argonauts legend, both what came before, what came after. So all the lessons learned by all those who have taken this journey are related in pictures. And as you walk, some of the pictures attract your attention. Before you, there is a throne. And behind the throne, there is the fleece. And it is hung up in display behind the throne. As you approach, you notice that the gleaming from the fleece is due to a hole up in the dome ceiling above you. And the sunlight and the moonlight are captured so that the fleece is always glowing. The glow is metallic, it is golden, and it is very comforting. There's no one there, so slowly you start ascending the steps and they take you to the throne, and then you seat yourself upon the throne. If you feel any hesitancy, know that you deserve to sit on the throne, that the fleece itself has given you permission to sit there and to bask in the light that is reflected off the fleece. And as you sit on the throne, you feel the throne energizing you. You feel the throne healing you. You feel the throne raising your vibrations. They raise your physical vibrations. It's a very electrifying feeling and permeates your entire being. And there's almost a humming, a sound that you can barely hear in the background, but you feel energized, you feel stimulated, you feel powerful, and then you feel that your etheric body, the vital energies that sustain you, that connect you to the rest of life on the planet, you feel that that too is being energized, that the vibrations are being raised, that they're vibrating at a higher rate, and you feel your vital body become one with your physical body in a way that you've never experienced before. And their unity becomes a synergy that starts to inform your emotions. And you feel yourself shift into your emotional body, also called the astral body. This body is the body of dreams. This body is the body of imagination. This is the body that connects the dots and creates the pictures that you react to as you're navigating through your life. And while you're in that body, you can escape whatever vain imaginings, whatever cycles that you get caught into, and you could focus on pictures that you yourself create to create a better life for yourself and for those you love. Instead of visualizing lack, instead of visualizing loss, instead of running movies where you're the victim, see yourself having enough. See yourself being enough. Imagine yourself as you'd like to be ideally. Who would you like to have in your life ideally? What type of circumstances would you like to surround yourself with? And then the emotions rise even higher to your mental body, which is where concepts move around and interact and eventually bind with each other and lead to new ideas, lead to new insights, lead to new imaginations that are filled with conviction. And you feel these bodies connect with your other bodies as well. And then you feel that there's even higher aspects of yourself, your higher self, your highest self, and even beyond that, until we get to our source, the sun, and then beyond the sun, and beyond that, stretching back into the source of all things. Now, this is an exercise you can do at any time for yourself. All you need to do is take a few minutes from your routine and imagine it. And dwell on each of the bodies, dwell on each of the aspects, and you'll be surprised what type of information comes to you. So, now that we've done that, we're going to move on with our first guest. And tonight, our first guest is DC Russ of Alliance Mentality. Greetings, DC. How are you? I'm glad that you could join us tonight.
Hey, Hercules. Thanks a lot for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, glad that you're here. You've been very busy lately, from what I see.
Yes, I've been doing a lot of things. Lots of learning, of course, Eric Horst. It's been really great.
Okay, I'm losing you a little bit. It sounds like you're underwater.
Oh, is this better?
Much better.
Okay, cool. Yeah, okay, speakerphone. Cool, yeah. Anyway, I was just saying, staying really busy, spreading myself too thin, if anything, but always remembering to recharge and get my rest, which is, you know, important for everybody, but especially I find for me and a lot of people talk about for manifestors in general, which is something I've been invested in fairly recently, the whole concept of human design. Are you familiar with that?
A little bit. Why don't you tell us all a bit more about it, and this way we could all be familiar with it.
Sure, yeah. Well, human design is, I guess you could say it's sort of like astrology, in that, you know, you have a design. There are four major types, four main types that all people supposedly fit into. And, you know, it's just a way, it's a framework for people to sort of understand themselves and their auras and their energy signatures, if you will. And my type is called the manifestor, and there's about 7 to 8% of the world's population is manifestors. And one of the things that's really important for manifestors is they need lots of rest, like a disproportionately large amount of rest compared to most people, where some people can seem to just go, go, go. I find, and I've known this since way before I discovered human design, that the more I recharge, the better results I get in life whenever I am active. So that's been a real helpful thing for me to know about myself, and that's one of the things I've been really helping other people to see in themselves through my blog. So that's been a lot of fun, and I've been exploring that. And you know, I don't know if it's, you know, if it's like a, you know, intense ritual for me, but there is a lot of truth to it, and it's just a kind of a fun, neat way to explore myself. So I do recommend that people check out their human design type.
So aside from manifestors, what are the other three types?
So there's the majority of people are generators, and there's about 60%, I think, if I remember correctly, of people on the planet are generators, and they're really like the body of people that get a lot of satisfaction from working a lot, and they have a lot of energy, a tremendous amount of energy, and, you know, they get a lot of satisfaction from staying busy. And so my wife is a generator, and so it's really nice to have that energy and someone who's really productive, and she feels like, you know, she's got this machine in her, this just constant churning, like, machine in her, and I can see it in how she moves and how she navigates the day, whereas I tend to be really energetic in small bursts of time, so it's really cool. And then there's projectors, which is about 20% of the population. I don't know a whole lot about projectors other than they have a really strong guiding energy.
Okay.
And then there is reflectors, which they are the rarest breed. I know next to nothing about reflectors. They're less than 1% of the population. And I think they, all of their centers in their body are what's called open or undefined. They tend to take in and absorb a lot of energy from the world around them. So they, I think it's helpful for reflectors to kind of stay a little bit distant from other people. But you know, generators, they are the majority of people, and you see them everywhere, and the world has a lot of advice for and from generators, so that's why I've really been focused on helping manifestors, because there's not a whole lot out there for manifestors, and I think a lot of people are just kind of told to be like everybody else. And so if you ever found that the way that you work or the way that you, you know, navigate your life is different than most people, then you might be one of those people who are a manifestor and should really investigate that energy. And, you know, it's just a way for you to understand yourself and how you operate. The way that you find out who you are, what class you are, is you go to a website called humandesignamerica.com.
Okay,
you can enter in your
birth
date
right
there.
Now.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
There's a lot of, you know, it goes way beyond the classes too. I mean, you've got all sorts of different aspects that you can explore about yourself, your profile, what gates you have open. But I find it really sufficient to just spend a few minutes and get the basics, read the basic of your report, and pick out for yourself what's true and what's not true. I think a lot of people, they subscribe to these things, and they want to try to conform to a certain type or a certain, you know, specific, and it really, you need to just explore it for yourself and find out what works for you. Use it as a lens to explore what works for you and what doesn't. I don't think everybody can fit neatly into all these categories. I mean, I don't know anything in nature or in the universe that fits neatly in packages like a lot of people want to put it.
Yeah, that happens to be the case, and especially if you're non-conventional to begin with, you know, you're not even going to fall into some of the non-conventional categories as they're defined on these type of tests. But I will check it out. I'm always looking for ways to expand my inner understanding. So you've just started me off on a new adventure, and I thank you for it.
It's a lot of fun, for sure, you know, and I just encourage people to don't bind themselves, don't constrain themselves to what it says on a website. You know, pick out what's true and throw away what's not true. And, you know, a lot of people would honestly give me a lot of criticism for saying that. And I've actually got a couple of scathing emails from people who were like, it just goes to show you how ignorant you are about human design and about its history and how the information was passed down. And, you know, that may be true, and that's fine, but, you know, everybody's got their own philosophy, so forth. For those two or three emails that I received where people were totally not happy with the way I was teaching human design, there were about two dozen people who were like, thank you so much for this information, and it just rings so true for me, and I agree with you, and I really appreciate you being bold enough to share this perspective, even though it might go against the common grain of how people look at human design. So, you know, that's just what I encourage everybody to do in or outside of human design is, you know, find your own answer. Figure out who you are for yourself. And if you don't fit neatly into a, somewhere that someone else says you should fit, then you just go and find your own place. So that's a real powerful thing. And I really don't think anybody can go wrong with that advice, you know?
No, but you will get those nasty emails. I occasionally get them myself. I'm almost 60. I've been out with my Olympian spirituality since the 1970s, and I'm Greek. And yet I still get emails and comments from people that, oh, you're not a real Greek. You know, you're not really into this ancient stuff. And it's like, well, if you think so, fine. But, you know, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, and I'm always learning. There's enough of this information out there that I don't even have time to really seriously examine it all, even if I did nothing else but that. So it's my journey, and I'm having fun on my journey, and it's benefiting me. So, you know, and I share it freely in case it benefits anybody else, but I'm not insistent that they do what I'm doing because their journeys are their journeys, you know, and let's all learn from each other.
Exactly. Yeah, I love the way that you put that. You know, you could be a so-called academic about the way that you approach your heritage, but you would die before you even got a fraction of the way through that.
Yeah, and occasionally I'll teach a class on it, so there it's a bit more academic and so forth, but my spirituality is a very important part of my life. It's not something separate.
Right.
For my life. So I look at it the same way I look at my exercise programs. You know, I'll do something for a while. It might work. It might not work. You know, we'll see. It might work for me and not somebody else. It might work for somebody else, but not for me. But what's important is it working for me? And if it isn't, I put those exercises aside. I gave myself diabetes by following like old bodybuilding advice. I didn't want to take steroids, so I was wondering, how did these guys from a long time ago get so big? And I found out that they did things like eating tons of oranges and drinking tons of milk. And I was lactose intolerant, but hey, that's what they did. So it took me a year, but I finally got to the point where I could drink a gallon of milk like they suggested. And I was getting huger muscles, and you know, I felt great and I felt powerful until the day where I didn't. And then all of a sudden I started losing an alarming amount of weight, and I couldn't lift any exercise equipment, and I got diagnosed with diabetes after I fell downstairs a couple of times because I'm very stubborn and I don't particularly care for going to doctors. But, yeah, I mean, sometimes with the best of intentions, you know, the advice will be wrong for you and it'll lead you to some terrible places. But that doesn't mean it won't work for somebody else, you know. So the only way you'll know is by experimenting and knowing that everything is your responsibility, whether there's a disclaimer or not. You know, you're there to – this is something you want to do, and these are what people have done to get there. So, you know, which way are you going to take to get there?
Right, exactly. I find that happens all over my life, and I keep falling into this trap of trying to listen to experts and trying to go through materials with like a student mindset, when really I think a lot of times having that student mentality will take you away from the individual learning path that you were meant to go on, and even if it does give you results for a while, like in your case, you know, there's a good chance it'll break down eventually and end up biting.
Yeah, but you won't know unless you try this.
Now, yeah, so I mean that happened to me with making money. You know, I followed everybody said, here's how you do it. This is how you're going to make a whole bunch of money. All you got to do is publish this many books, do this, market them this way. I actually had a book, Hercules, when I first started out on my independent financial career, that was making about $40 or $60 a month, just one book. And that was really early on. So for me, that was awesome. And then I paid $150 for this expert to coach me on how to make the book sell more, because I'm thinking, you know, if I get some extra expert help on this, I could really maybe even make $500 a month with this book. And so I paid $150 for him to coach me. He told me everything I needed to do to the book description, to the book cover, to the keywords, to the outreach platform. And I took diligent notes and I implemented all those things. And I showed him after I had done that. And he's like, yep, exactly. I think you totally got it. And that book tanked, and I ended up not making more than $10 on that book ever again. And that was years ago.
Right, right. And I'm sure his advice was good for most people, but now, one of the things I really admire about you and like about you is that you share your journey openly. So if your journey takes you to a dark place, you'll share the fact that you're in a dark place. Like recently, you wrote something really wonderful on depression that was very deep and very touching. And most people who are sharing the journey stay away from sharing pitfalls and dark things, even though they're there. But you don't shy away from things like that, and I really admire it.
Oh, I appreciate that very much. And you know, I could honestly do better with that, because you know, I don't think I'm alone at all when I say that, like, every day seems to have its own challenges. And There's a parable, a phrase out there, a spiritual phrase, and I can't remember who said it. Maybe it was a quote by Jesus. But it goes along the lines of, let today's problems be enough for today. And, you know, that's really good. I love to get back into that.
And it's true. Every day has its challenges, and I'm finding, because of my current journey, that you know, both the things out there and the things inside your household and the things inside yourself connect in some weird way where they seem to be at times reflections of each other. So as long as you're addressing that and working on it and seeking to meet the challenge and be transformed by it, it doesn't matter what level you do it on. You can grow regardless. Life will give you these challenges continuously until you get them. And not that they stop after that, but you can handle them, so you don't need to worry about them. You just handle it and move on after that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I appreciate you noticing that about me, and I try my best to give my honest account of what's going on in my life, because honestly, I'm really, it angers me quite a bit that there is so much information out there that just is not helping people, and it's allowing them to stay stuck. So I'm really willing to put myself on the line out there to go against the grain and figure out what kinds of things work for me, even if they seem ridiculous, and then share them with other people. Like I was reading today about the placebo effect and just how amazing that is, that nobody would have ever thought that a sugar pill could cure, you know, symptoms. So it's like you just never know how things work until you're willing to investigate for yourself.
Yeah, the placebo effect is phenomenally powerful, and it's amazing how powerful it is. It's like 75% of all cures can be attributed to the placebo effect.
Yeah, that's fun.
We're at the half-hour point. I'm going to put on a song. It's Bone Poets Orchestra Oracle. And we'll be back in a couple of minutes, and I will join you in the chat room.
Okay.
Come away with you. Thank you.
things to conclude. She is older than creation, and she ain't got time for fools. Do you really want to see some future in the palm of your hand? Tell me, what's it gonna be? Do you really think you really want to understand?
International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
You're listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
Greetings, welcome back to the Voice of Olympus here on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. This is Hercules Invictus, and I'm flying solo tonight. Athena Victory is off adventuring. She may join us a little later on in the show. Tonight, the overall topic is the Golden Fleece, Prosperity, and our first guest is DC Russ from Align Mentality. Welcome back, DC. Hello?
Oh, sorry, I had mute on. Yeah, thank you very much.
It's okay. Now, you recently shared an adventure with us that led to the publication of a book where you approached very many people, out of whom 15 responded, to share their own journeys. And you put this together into a book, and last time we spoke, that was doing very well. How is that journey continuing?
So I think that journey has come to a close.
Okay.
The book ended up doing very well. Like you said, I reached out to a great deal of people all in one specific niche. I mean, I really don't think there were anybody in that niche I didn't reach out to. It ended up being a total of 310 people that I reached out to directly. And then I got 15 people to say yes. So, you know, do the math. There's 295 no's. And it was after about the 20 or 30th no when I was like, you know, maybe I should do something else. Just, this is ridiculous. I'm just getting beat up out here. To be fair, though, Hercules, unlike, you know, sales cold calls, everybody was very polite because I was inviting them to join something bigger. You know, I wasn't just selling them on something. And I think a lot of people really appreciated that. I don't think I got a single scathing email, whereas I've done a lot of cold calling and cold emailing in my life. And, you know, some people would actually honestly rather you be dead than to be calling them. But this was a wonderful project, and it warmed my heart because even the people who just didn't have any interest in joining a book collaboration were just so positive and full of optimism. And, you know, good luck on your journey, and I know you'll find those people. And so it was that kind of energy that really kept me going. And then
right.
After about a month and a half or so, I got through all the people, got 15 yeses. I actually got 17 just to make sure because I knew at least one person was going to drop out at the last minute.
Uh-huh.
And I felt really proud of myself because two people dropped out and then I had exactly 15. So I was like, yes, you know, I'm learning about life. You know, I feel like I have a big victory for me.
I remember once I read a book by Bob Proctor where he said to reach out to people you admire and to ask if there's anything you could do for them. So I called up Bob Proctor to ask if there's anything I could do for him. Didn't get to talk to Bob, but the people there were very nice and they were very helpful. And so that was an interesting experience. I also reach out to people, and most people will say, no, we'll not get back to you. But if you persist, you'll eventually, you know, have a really awesome response. So the trick is not to let go, not to be discouraged by those seeming no's. You know, they're all leading to a yes.
I know, and it's really true. It is, and I don't know how it works. I think we tend to think of it in terms of numbers. It's just a numbers game. But I have a very sneaking suspicion that there's something more to it. There's some kind of magic in that kind of persistence. Because there's a lot of even big multi-million-dollar companies out there that have the problem of reaching out via too many sales channels. And they end up getting their wires crossed, and none of them end up coming to fruition. So there's a lot of sales advice out there that says, just focus on one or two sales channels and don't give up no matter how much you get beat up. Find those results and persist, and you will end up meeting your goal. And I found that to be true with this project and also with my current project right now, which is forming a digital agency.
What is a digital agency?
So I've always been really good. I don't make any money off Align Mentality as my blog. It's been a five-year-long passion project, and I'll keep it going for 20 years. That's fine with me. But what I do to make money is I do web design, graphic design, and I've just partnered with a guy who is an expert at SEO. And so I've just now taken my skills and my abilities and put them into like an actual agency where I'm able to field the calls and then take the work and divide it among other people. I've got a web designer, I've got an SEO guy, and this is I actually just finished my very first project ever where I was able to get the job, get the gig, and then divide it up and outsource it and then put it all together and then deliver it to the client. And that's the first time I've ever done that. So I'm in the process now of wanting to do more of that because it feels really good to focus on what I do best, which I feel is talking to people directly. Whereas, you know, I'm a good web designer, but I'm, you know, I wouldn't say I'm an expert. So, you know, having other people around me to kind of put our own heads together, I feel like, you know, this three heads together is the sum of greater than the sum of the parts, as they say.
Almost definitely a synergy.
Yeah.
Now, if we're running out of time, if someone wants to learn more about you, Align Mentality, and your new business venture, how can they go about finding you?
AlignMentality.com. I actually just redid the site a little bit, put some new colors up. Looks real great. So that's just Align, A-L-I-G-N, and then there's a hyphen, Mentality, M-E-N-T-A-L-I-T-Y.com. Or you can just Google Mentality or DC Rust. I'll pop up all over the place. But I'd love to talk to more people and, you know, do whatever I can to help them live an easier, more prosperous life.
And you've started me on this new quest now with the four types. I'm definitely not a projector, but I couldn't read the other categories, so I will read them after the show tonight, and let's see where that takes me. Thank you for initiating a new quest, my friend. It is always a pleasure to have you on. And I'm bringing back Prosperity Quest next season, which starts in August. So you and I will exchange a few emails before then. But you've always brought something wonderful to the show, something very helpful to people on a variety of levels. So I'd like to get you back on like once a month or so.
I'd love to do that. Yeah, thank you very much. I feel absolutely honored. You broke up for a minute there. You said you were a projector, huh?
No, I said I'm not a projector. I'm too definite in what I am to be a projector. Projectors, it seems, are more reflections. Or was that a reflector? Wait a second. Let me go back
here. Yeah. You know, did you put in your information there? Because that would be the best bet. I really only know about the manifestor-generator dichotomy because they work so close together. But yeah, I would love to find out what you are, Hercules.
Yeah, I'd love to find out, too. I'm not a reflector. And the other ones, I didn't really have a chance to read them during the short break. But I will look through it. I'll look through Manifestor, Projector, and Generator, and then I'll send you an email.
I'd love that. Yes, let's connect. And thank you so much for having me on the show. I love talking to you. You're real smooth. You got a lot of things to say, and you've had a lot of unique experiences, which is really refreshing. So it's always a pleasure, Hercules.
Same here. The pleasure's mine. Joyous journeys, my friend.
Thank you, sir. And thank all of your listeners. Take care now.
Bye-bye. That was always a pleasure having DC Ross on. And now we have Linda Marciniak, a regular on our show. Greetings, Linda. How are you?
Hi there. How are you, Hercules?
I'm still recovering from oral surgery. So if I sound a little muffled or slurry, I haven't mastered speaking yet. So I'm getting there, though.
Okay.
Now, it's very exciting to have you on. We missed doing the workshop this month, and we missed coming out there. But I'm looking forward to next month, where we do our voyage of the Argo through the cosmic spirituality spectrum. What else is new and exciting at the Amber Dragon?
Well, first of all, I hope you are feeling better, and you know, your following
Thanks.
There at the Dragon was very, very upset that you weren't coming this month. So they're looking forward to getting on with the journey with you next month.
Thank you.
This month we have a new event starting at the Dragon. It'll be this Saturday night. We have a drum circle. That's actually
wow.
being led by a gentleman who is a shamanic drummer. So it's going to be really exciting. I'm really looking forward to it. And we'll be starting at 7 o'clock this Saturday night.
That is awesome. You have a wide variety of offerings there at the Dragon. And the people that I've met have all been very wonderful. And I really wish that we had the freedom to come and explore these things.
Well, we're hoping to get you to come into a circle or two. I think, you know, having you there and really experiencing everything that we have to offer upstairs would be, you know, that would be a really nice thing. And, you know, as somebody who is usually the leader of the group, it's just a nice experience to come and, you know, not be responsible for anything but just absorbing the energy and, you know, having a moment to yourself. So, you know, I really hope that at some point you and Athena can find your way to just experience, you know, one of the workshops without feeling the, you know, the obligation of being a leader.
I'm looking forward to that as well. So it will happen. I don't know when, but it's definitely on the must-happen list, so it will come to be. Now, journey is very unique in that you focus a lot on stones, and not just the metaphysical aspects of stones either. You're very well-versed in mineralogy and associated disciplines, so that you have very comprehensive knowledge and experience of the stones. And when I conduct workshops upstairs, the stones surrounding the chairs end a lot of energy to, you know, what we're doing, absorb a lot of energy. So that's a very, that is a wonderful added dimension I've never experienced before. And you've opened up my eyes to many new possibilities.
Well, thank you, Hercules. I mean, I really believe that, you know, there's energy all around us, and the stones are just a great representation of that. And I just feel very at home when I'm working with them, and I learn as I go. I mean, there's just always so many more fascinating minerals out there to just read about and experience. We just got some beautiful zeolites into the shop, and they're just so varied, I mean, between the colors and the patterns on the stones and the mineral content. I mean, each one is just a work of art for me. They're just so beautiful. And we also got some nice carborundum in. It's the first time I've had that mineral in the shop. And just fascinating stuff, you know, to just look at and handle and just experience for yourself, you know.
And I love the way you display things. It's like playing that Where's Waldo game, or those books where you need to find like these things in a very busy environment. And you never know what you're going to discover. The last time I went, I discovered dinosaurs and Yoda hidden among all the gems and items. So that was a very great thing. And I know next time I come, there'll be other things, you know, and maybe Yoda and the dinosaurs won't be there anymore. It'll be someplace else. So it really enhances the experience of browsing.
Well, it's not a very big shop, but, you know, I try and move things around quite a bit. So every time you go in there, you have the experience of finding something new and discovering something for the first time. And believe me, every time I move stuff in the shop, I discover things for the first time as well. So it's kind of a fun, fun game.
Now, tonight's topic is prosperity, and I know that in our economy that is something that is on many people's mind. How can people work with the stones to increase their actual prosperity and their feeling of abundance and their attitude into something more giving and open to receiving?
So, you know, there's a lot to be said about abundance and wealth. And you know, a lot of people come in the shop and that's, you know, they're looking for the money stones, you know, they're looking for the money spells or the, you know, money mojo bags. And I really have to, you know, take a minute and explain to people that, you know, when the universe talks about abundance, we're not talking about money. We're talking about, you know, wealth of spirit, you know, abundance of appreciation. You know, these are the things that make us feel satisfied at the end of the day. These are the things that really make us feel wealthy. And when you're in that space of wealth and abundance, everything that you need will find its way to you. And that's
mm-hmm.
really a mindset shift, you know. So
right.
when we're talking about the stones and how they can help us, you know, they're really working on that whole mindset shift that, you know, when we appreciate what we have, when we have wealth of spirit, when we have prosperity and generosity in our souls, then we will call those things to us. You know, they will find their way. You know, there's an old saying, what you think about, you bring about, right? So
mm-hmm.
when you think about wealth and you think about, you know, prosperity, and you're walking around all day and you're saying, you know, I really need, you know, I need money. Really what you're doing is you're bringing that about for yourself. You're bringing about the need of money. You're not bringing yourself money. So
right.
it's some very simple shifts that you can make in your, you know, in your mind and in the way of reframing your own thoughts that can really help you live an abundant life that makes you feel satisfied, you know, not necessarily wealth of objects, but again, you know, wealth and abundance of spirit. So, you know, that's really where I come from when we talk about the stones and, you know, and there are a lot of stones that are going to be able to support you on your journey to abundance as well.
Someone at another pagan store a few years ago had suggested a gem with me. It's a golden one, and I keep it in my wallet. And I said, as long as it's in your wallet will never be empty. And I must say, that's it's proven true. Sometimes it's more filled than other times, but it's never been empty.
So
I keep it there. And I, like we've discussed on previous shows, I'm a very much a newbie with stones. My own personal history is the exploration of quartz crystals for an extended time because they're associated with Mount Olympus. And also my individual relationship with certain rocks that I happen to find or that happen to appear on my path at various times. Like for a while, whenever I asked the universe a question, the answer would come in the form of a prehistoric hammer. And sometimes the prehistoric hammers would be found in places where I didn't think prehistoric hammers had a business to be, like one time on a beach. But there it was, you know. And so that was how the universe gave me indications that my questions have been received and answered. A lot of people get this with feathers. So
right.
I'm currently opening myself up to communicating more with the universe in this way because it does communicate with me in this way. I'm learning a lot from what you're sharing on these shows. So if I wanted to increase or facilitate my prosperity consciousness, because I'm grateful for every good thing in my life, regardless of what's going on and how challenging things I confront are, the things that are in my life that I love being in my life, I'm thankful for that they're there. And I've worked in hospitals and in other places where people suffer losses, losses of loved ones, losses of limbs. And I see how people realize that they've taken the person or their limb for granted. So I try not to take things for granted. You know, I try to appreciate the fact that they're there. So what type of stones would help me with that, with increasing my appreciation, increasing my thankfulness, and getting into that abundant mentality, that abundant spirit?
So there are a lot of stones, and you know, when I start to do my research to get ready for the show, I cast a very wide net, and then I start to kind of reel that in a little bit because I know that we're not going to get to talk about a lot of them. So I really kind of narrowed it down tonight to just a few of the stones that I really feel are you know, the most productive, if you will, going to give you the biggest bang for your buck, right?
Thank you.
So, I mean, so, you know, we can start with a very simple, very humble stone. It's a very common stone, and you know, it covers a lot of bases, and that's carnelian. And carnelian can be found right here in New Jersey, in the riverbeds. It's just a beautiful stone. It ranges in color from, you know, from clear and white and opaque up into the beautiful reds and oranges and, you know, vibrant, you know, browns. And the stone itself, you know, it does a lot of things. It moves from the root right up into the solar plexus chakras because of the different, you know, mutations in the colors. But it's a motivator. It's a stone that kind of moves you towards success. It can move you towards, you know, business success, personal relationship success, abundance in spirit, because it builds confidence and it creates, you know, a great wave of confidence in you. And when we're confident, we see the world through more fulfilled eyes, right? So, you know, as a confident being, we move through the world and we say, you know, I have what I need, and I'm, to use your words, you know, I'm very happy for everything that, you know, comes my way. And carnelian can really help you with that. It's a great stone for allowing, you know, folks that might be a little bit more shy or introverted or timid to get their point across, to get, you know, that what they wish to manifest. You know, a lot of us, we secretly dream of, you know, things we want, and, you know, everybody's got that friend who just always seems to be achieving, right? But carnelian's a stone that can really help the folks that are, you know, they're more whispering their dreams. These are the folks that kind of stand in the shadows a little bit and say, boy, I really wish I could do that. So carnelian's a great stone to help you to be able to kind of build the muscle of confidence and bring those good things, those wholesome things that you want into your life, you know, to kind of make manifestation happen. So it's definitely a nice, you know, universal stone to have around. It can do a lot of things for you. It moves you right up through, you know, from grounding into, you know, the power of the will. And so when we talk about abundance, you know, it really comes from those places. So I really like carnelian, especially for people that are, you know, just starting out to work with the stones, because it's just a nice stone to have.
I think the stone in my wallet is a carnelian, actually. It's like a orange brown. Yeah, I believe so.
Nice.
When you
said
carnelian, it rang bells. That's the stone. Okay.
There you go.
I can work with this like I work with the quartz crystals, holding it in my hand, meditating with it, and those are some of the places that it would take me. That's definitely worth a try.
Well, and anytime you get a stone, you know, you want to be able to charge it with your intention. You know, what is the particular work? What is the direction that you're hoping that the stone is going to help you to go to? Because if you don't communicate that with the stone, you're not necessarily going to get where you hope you're going to go, right? So, you know, what you want to do whenever you get a stone is you want to start by cleansing it. Again, I do not use salt water when I cleanse my stones at all. I use selenite, I use sage, I ring bells. A stone like carnelian, you could run under cold water, you know, warm water. Water's not going to bother carnelian at all. But, you know, in some way you want to symbolically cleanse that stone. You want to just remove all of the excess energy and any other direction that may have already been, you know, put into the stone. And then once you feel that the stone is cleansed, you really want to charge it with your own intention. And this is sometimes where we get tripped up with this stuff, is that, you know, you got to work with them. You can't just bring it home, put it on a table, and stare at it and say, you know, make it happen. It's a relationship like anything else. So you want to spend some quiet time. I like to take my new stones, and once I've cleansed them, I like to put them under my pillow to sleep with them. You know, I work with them a lot in you know, your palm chakras, and hold on to it. And you want to just be clear about what your intention, what is it that you want to bring in. You know, what is it that, you know, you're hoping to manifest by using this stone? And you want to use all of that to kind of, you know, use some imagery and see yourself in that place, you know, of abundance, of prosperity, you know, and how that's defined for you. You want to do all that with the stone, you know, in your hand, close to your heart, you know, so that the stone can start to translate and work with you to bring those things about.
What other stones besides carnelian would be good for somebody working along the path of prosperity and abundance?
So I want to talk about a stone that for me, I absolutely love it. It's gotten a lot of notoriety over the last couple of years, and that's a stone called Epidote. Epidote is a beautiful green beryl stone. It almost looks like tourmaline when you see it in the rock. And it's the stone of increase. It's the stone of more. So one of the challenges that you face when you work with Epidote is focusing a stone like that, because the effects are going to be different on different people, because it tunes into your thinking. It turns into tunes right into the pattern of your personality and your thinking, right? So
okay.
If you're somebody who's always kind of, you know, thinking negatively, if you've got that kind of Eeyore mentality where, you know, okay, I'm going to try this, but I don't think it's going to work. Well, Epidote is going to be more than happy to help you prove that it's not going to work. You know, so it's a stone that you really have to, you have to start with a good intention before you pick it up. But once you have that and you've charged it with, you know, the precision of defining, you know, what it is that you're trying to bring in, it can really help you, because the first thing it's going to help you do is recognize those negative patterns in your life. And when you can start to see that, you can start to appreciate, you know, that these things may not be coming your way because of, you know, barriers or stumbling blocks that you're putting up yourself. So although it may not be comfortable at first, Epidote can really teach you a lot about, you know, yourself and how you're moving through your goals. And then once you've got that awareness, that kind of aha moment, then you can use the Epidote to start to manifest, you know, the courage that you need to let go of the things that no longer serve you, you know, and start to move into a more bountiful, abundant life. So it's an amazing stone. It's a catalyst for change. It can help you to manifest your dreams, but before it does that, it's going to kind of call you out a little bit.
Okay.
Let you know that, you know, these are the things that might be getting in the way.
That sounds like an awesome
you know,
challenge. Okay, so far we have carnelian and Epidote.
So one of the other stones that I really like to work with is moss agate. And again, you know, when people come into the shop and they're looking for, you know, they're looking for something new, they're looking for, you know, something exotic. But, you know, there's these tried and true, you know, these are our utility stones. We talk about carnelian. You can certainly add citrine to the mix of stones for abundance and wealth. And if you come into the shop, I have a beautiful piece of citrine by my register to kind
awesome.
Of draw abundance to me. And moss agate is another one of those stones. It's called moss, you know, it's in the agate family, and it's called moss agate or moss green agate, because when you hold it up, you can actually see what looks like fern life in the stone.
Wow.
And the configurations can be spectacular. And this is another stone that attracts wealth and abundance, but it does it a little differently because, you know, it moves very slowly. Because the key with moss agate is that it helps you to stabilize and balance your energy. And when you're coming from that balanced place, your heart is open to abundance and love, and you can then receive those things that are going to make you, you know, wealthy, if you will. So it can attract wealth by supporting you know, your internal self-esteem and helping you to get some mental clarity and stability. And these things are best if they grow over time. You know, that's really when, you know, if you change a habit, it takes over 30 days to change that habit. But if you really put the work in, that slow, steady progress is always going to be with you. So Ross Agate brings wealth and abundance in that way. It's slow and steady progress towards the goals that you've set for yourself. And, it's, you know, I mean, it's just a nice stone to have around. One of the other stones that I want to talk about is the chalcopyrite. So chalcopyrite is beautiful. It's pyrite with an iridescent quality to it, and it's a very powerful energy conduit. And what it's going to do, again, and you know, it's another stone that's going to kind of call you out and put you through, you know, kind of a test of truth, if you will. And bring your soul to a place of kind of honest reckoning. You know, what is it that you're currently doing that keeps you in this perpetual cycle of, you know, despair or unhappiness or dissatisfaction? Because you have to get through that cycle if you're going to reach the place of abundance. So chalcopyrite is another, you know, wonderful stone that can help you to do that. And it's a great stone for meditating. It will kind of bring you to that place of releasing the structures of the mind so that, you know, as those, you know, as the ego kind of evaporates, we reach a place of deep meditation. And when you're in that place, you know, you can plant the seeds for where you want to go, that's going to be fulfilling. So once you're doing that, you understand and appreciate that prosperity, abundance, and wealth are not material things. They're states of mind. And when you achieve that state of mind where you are in a place of abundance, then you will be in a place of abundance.
Right.
You know, you'll start to change that, you know, the tape loop in your head from what you need to what you have.
Right.
So rather than making those statements, I need money, you know, making the statement, I have all the money that I need. And chalcopyrite can help you to kind of evolve into that place. And that's very attractive. You know, the universe loves when we're recognizing in gratitude the gifts that we've already received, and then we will find ourselves kind of open and receiving those gifts, a lot like your, you know, your journey, you know, on the beach and finding a hammer where you didn't think it was going to be. You know, when you open yourself up to the abundance of the universe, the gifts are going to arrive. It's just the nature of things, you know.
And it's amazing, sometimes we forget that we put the request out there. The most dramatic case for this was when I was a teenager. I wanted this book, but it was, back then it was way before the internet, or, you know, so it's a hard to find book. And to get it, it would have cost me a lot of money and taken a lot of time. And it was a Conan book, and I was very much into Conan the Barbarian. When I was young, I still enjoy Conan the Barbarian, other sword and sorcery stories. But anyway, I wanted this book, and I couldn't find it. And so eventually I let go of it. And in my 30s, I was living in Forest Hills in Queens, New York, and I had a feeling to go to the Barnes & Noble. So I always, if it's a strong feeling, I always follow it if I can. So I went to Barnes & Noble and just like wandering around and, you know, like looking at the used books. And I saw this book that I wanted as a kid that I forgot about. So I went and paid
for the book.
It cost me a few bucks, yeah. And I asked them if they had anything else from like this, like did they get these in a lot, an auction or something? Did they get more? Because, you know, maybe I'd like something else. So the manager looked at it, he scanned it, and he said, what do you call it, that this book shouldn't even be there. He has no idea how it wound up in that bin because it didn't come through regular channels. So, again, it took years and I forgot about it, but I got exactly what I had asked for. And another time when I was channeling, there was a really rare book that I was looking for. And again, the same thing. It would cost a lot of money and take a lot of time. So I released it into the universe. And after I'd released it, I was walking down the street in downtown New York. And there is the book on a stairs in front of somebody's building. Yeah, the exact book. Yeah, there it was. So I know that those type of miracles happen. They don't happen as often as we would like, but they do happen. And when they happen, it's hard to recognize. It's hard not to recognize that you had a miracle take place.
Well, and it's, you know, and it's a lot of really subtle stuff. And we're just, you know, we're not really socialized to experience the subtle energy that is all around us. And that's where abundance lives, right? So, you know, similar to you, Hercules, you know, I firmly believe that, you know, when I am meant to have something, I'm going to have it. And so, you know, I have a few shops that I frequent that, you know, they're secondhand stores, and I, you know, love that stuff. I just love going through, and I'm a big fan of repurposing and you know, reusing things. And but I'll you know, I'll get an inkling, and I'll say, oh, I have to go. You know, I have to go to the store. There's something waiting there for me. And, you know, at first my husband used to say, well, all right, you know, something waiting's there for you. But it would be just a matter of seconds. Usually as I was opening the door, I could see the item that, you know, was there waiting for me. And I would just turn around and smile because, you know, I knew that I was being called to this place at this time because something that I needed, something that I wanted, you know, had made its way into the pattern of my life. It was now accessible to me. And, you know, when you receive those gifts with gratitude, the universe, you know, will return that favor over and over again. And,
yes,
and it's important to pay it forward. You know, it's, when we're talking about things like abundance and generosity, we have to generate abundance and generosity. And, you know, certainly as somebody who's, you know, I have a shop and people come in and, you know, some people have money and some people don't have money. And, you know, I think it's very important that we give back and we make sure that as we receive gifts, we gift others. And I think that's the way that we kind of keep the chain of abundance going, and that kind of fills everybody's soul. I think it's just a nice way to live, you know.
Yeah, some people have, like you described before, Eeyore type of personalities, and they're the hardest to reach because if they decide that they're going to be unhappy, then they're unhappy. And regardless of how the rest of their life is, whatever's making them unhappy in the moment colors the rest of their life so that everything is horrible, just instead of the challenge that's facing them being problematic or difficult. Everything becomes engulfed in gray clouds and unpleasant.
And it's certainly very easy to, you know, to have that experience. And there are, there's a lot of sadness in the world, and there are a lot of people living unfulfilled lives, you know, kind of stuck between the worlds, if you will. They're trying to, you know, do what needs to be done on this planet to survive. And a lot of times, you know, the things that we sacrifice are really, you know, our inner being, that light being, you know, and kind of takes a back seat sometimes. And I think that perpetuates sadness in people. And it's not, you know, it's not an easy thing to reach them, but to just be able to share an insight and to do a little reframing with people and to kind of, you know, share a positive moment with them, that's your gift back to them. You know, what they do with it, that's entirely up to them. But, you know, it's still kind of within your soul to kind of give that you know, that moment back to them.
Yeah. Yeah, I find that sometimes the best thing I could do for someone like that is just listen and not offer advice or insight. Just let them unburden themselves with whatever it is that they're burdened with.
Yeah, and sometimes really creating a bit of a distraction, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly, you know, you always want to be empathetic and you want to listen. But sometimes just giving a moment of reframing can shift that whole conversation. Even, you know, even humor. And I use a lot of humor. I'm a licensed clinical social worker, and I've been doing therapy for quite a few years. And, if you bring humor into the situation, it can also lighten the soul and, you know, kind of give everybody just a moment pause to maybe regroup a little bit. And I find that that can also be a gift for people. You know, we don't spend a lot of time in casual conversation anymore as a culture. And I myself am guilty of this as well, you know, kind of locked to my device more than, you know, I ever thought I would be. And so when you look up and you make contact with other people and you realize that they might be struggling, you know, share what's abundant in yourself. If that's, you know, a smile or a nice comment or just the opportunity to say hello, you'll find that by doing that, you're going to feel prosperous. You're going to feel wealthy. And that's going to kind of move that energy along. And that's what we're trying to build, right? Is a world where everybody can kind of experience some level of comfort and peace.
Almost certainly so. It's people are attached to their devices and their screens, and it's like we're becoming a hive mind almost.
Yeah. Well, and so, you know, this is another opportunity where stones can really help you. It's a tactile experience, you know. It's not something that, you know, when you work with the stones, you know, you have to put the phone down, you have to put the electronics down. You know, you can scroll through and Google search and internet search as much as you want. You can read as much as you want about, you know, carnelian or epidote or chalcopyrite. But until you actually put those stones in your hand and make that connection, you know, and feel them and experience the energy and reach out and kind of really get involved, you're not going to get the benefit of what the abundant universe that we live in really can offer you. And, you know, establish a relationship with a stone is no different than establishing a relationship with a human being. It's all about contact. It's all about touch. It's all about, you know, making time to be present and alive with those things that have value, you know, in your life, that kind of move you forward, that make you feel wealthy. And if that are, you know, if it's stones, if it's the people that you're spending your life with, you know, that's a beautiful thing. But it's definitely an opportunity to kind of bring you back into a very mindful experience when you spend time, you know, with a stone in your hand.
So let me summarize before we move on. Citrine, carnelian, and moss agate are good stones to start with to get you in the proper frame of mind and to work on building abundance consciousness. And epidote and chalcopyrite will also work with you, but they'll call you out and they will have you confront things that are blocking you and encourage you to work on those so that you don't manifest what you're manifesting.
Fantastic. That's exactly right.
And with these stones, you can work with them in a number of ways. You can meditate with them. You can sleep with them. You can hold them in your hands. Are there any other techniques people can use with the stones?
Well, so, you know, and much like yourself, where you would put it in your wallet, you know, when you're trying to manifest something, you're trying to bring abundance in, you know, if there's a particular thing, right, the universe abhors greed. So, you know, you're not going to sit there and say, oh, you know what, I need $1 million. Nobody needs $1 million. What do you really need? You know, what are you looking for? When my oldest son was looking at high schools, and we were, you know, hoping for him to, you know, go to a private high school, and you know, I did a lot of work with abundance spell work, and I, you know, I worked some symbols and some seagulls, and you know, I you know, took the emblem from the school that he really wanted to go to, and you know, I applied the stones and the symbols that I was using at the time right to that symbol, and you know, tried to really kind of connect manifestation and abundance with what I needed for him to really get to where he wanted to go. So that's another way to really, in very focused work, you know, utilize the stones. You know, do some collage work, you know, cut out, you know, some pictures or draw some images of what you would like to manifest and apply the stones. Gridding is another great way to use stones to achieve a goal that you're working on. And, you know, so there's a lot of ways that you can actually physically work with them. Beyond just holding them and meditating, because a lot of us get caught up in our head, and meditating is beautiful. I love it. I do a meditation circle every Thursday night at the shop. But at a certain point, you've got to move into the lower chakras. You've got to start to get your hands dirty, right? So we did full moon on Saturday night, and we called in earthworm energy, because earthworm reminds us that in order to work magic, we need to get our hands dirty. We need to actually do the work. We need to dig in and do the work. And the stones are the same way. So meditating with them is beautiful, but working with them, utilizing them, creating ways to work with them, that's what's really going to move you along into abundance, because abundance comes from creativity. So that's really how they can help you open up that creative space for yourself.
And with me, when I work with stones or other things in my own practice, these you could say, I guess, the elemental or the deva of what I'm working with manifests. It's like an intermediary being that I can relate to that facilitates communication. I don't think anybody's ever taught me that. That's something that's always happened. So, and I guess I always expect it to happen, so it keeps happening. But I find that that yields a lot of insights, and the insights come in English or Greek, because those are the languages that I'm most resonant with and receptive to. And that can be magical. The insights that come are phenomenal. And the more you communicate with an entity through whatever midpoint projection you guys create, that gets stronger, and the communication becomes, it flows more, becomes easier.
Yes, and one of the ways that you can, you know, that you can work with this too is, you know, who might be in your corner? You know, is it an archangel? Is it a particular deity, you know, a god or a goddess from any of the pantheons? And, you know, by paying them honor, they may also come to your aid. So, you know, working on a stone that may be a correspondence to one of these deities or one of the elementals, you know, earth, air, fire, water, spirit, you know, if that's the direction that you go in, they can also assist you and become, you know, part of the journey with you. And, you know, offering stones as, you know, as gifts to the deities that are meaningful in your life are also, you know, a beautiful expression of abundance, you know, sharing the wealth, not just always knocking on the door with a request, you know,
right,
from these deities, from these angels, but to give back in a moment of abundance and, you know, share some time and some prayers and, you know, set up a little sacred space somewhere, you know, where you can put some stones and, you know, maybe light some incense and just spend a few moments reflecting with the deity of your choice on, you know, what your goals are and how together you can move forward into a more, you know, abundant life, and offering the stones that may correspond to that particular deity. It's always a nice treat, you know. You know, even the gods and goddesses like to get presents every now and again.
Oh, of course, yeah. I maintain that the divine, it is a relationship, like you were talking about the stones. It doesn't really matter what you light or what you, you know, the ritual that you do, as long as you offer something and you're performing a ritual. It's a lot like a relationship. Those things are nice. It's like if you want to take your significant other on a date, even though you've been together for a while, or do something special for them. But the relationship that you build every day, that's the important thing, not the little, you know, tiny things, although they're important too. And they're kind of like the icing on the cake. So with the earth elementals, I'm imagining it's the same thing. To, you know, if you want to know them, you have to form relationships with them and maintain those relationships as you would a human relationship.
And especially if you're talking about the elementals, you know, you have to get out. You have to experience nature. You have to really, you know, to find abundance and wealth, all you really need to do is take a walk and just look around, you know. Just take a look around. I mean, the earth is just filled with amazing gifts. I mean, those stones that I pick up on my journeys are as valuable to me as, you know, the most amazing crystal specimen that you can go and you know, purchase at a show. Because those are the ones that the universe has said, you know, this is my gift to you this day.
Yes.
You know, you've taken the time, you've taken the energy to take a walk out in nature to, you know, honor and respect, you know, Gaia in all of her beauty. And as a result, you know, Gaia will gift you with abundance and, you know, send you home with a beautiful symbolic gesture. And, you know, it's really a nice thing. If you're feeling depleted, if you're feeling like, you know, you don't really have anything, you know, that everything is lost, you need to take a walk in a natural place and ideally take your shoes off and really get yourself, you know, to connect with the earth and feel, you know, the power of abundance that is literally, you know, our survival here on this planet.
Yes, I like thanking the sky and the clouds and, you know, my wife and I do this when we're driving around. You know, we look around and if something's breathtaking and beautiful, we thank whoever was involved in making that, you know, for their gift because it's a feast for the eyes or for the heart, and we're very appreciative of it.
It shifts the mentality 100%. I mean, I do a lot of commuting. I'm in the car a lot, and it used to really just wear my soul out. I mean, it was a gauntlet that I had to, you know, I had to fight this fight every day. And when I started to really kind of shift my thinking about it and really use, you know, my skills and practice what I preach, quite honestly, it made the commute so much better, you know, and I went from, you know, not seeing it as this gauntlet that I had to achieve, but, you know, I would take it apart in small pieces. So, you know, each major roadway that I would transcend, when I would get to the end of it in a reasonable time, I would thank it, you know, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Route 80. I did not have traffic on you today. I'm just so grateful. And, you know, I found that if I trapezed myself home in that way, by the time I got home, I felt pretty good about the commute because I was filled with gratitude and, you know, an expression of thanks for something that, you know, had been just eating away at me and just grinding away at my soul and really made a big difference in how I shaped the rest of my day. I wasn't walking in the door anymore, just exhausted and finished, I was walking in the door feeling quite lucky, quite gifted that I had managed to get home, you know, with relative ease. And I found that the more I did that, boy, the quicker and the easier the commute became.
That is awesome. And we're running into the last legs of the tonight show. Are there any other stones you could recommend, or because that was quite a lot to experiment with? It's a good 6 months of experimentation here. But are there any other stones?
Well, I think, you know, just to really talk a little bit more about citrine, because it's another one of those utility stones, and we have to, you know, when we talk about citrine. Natural citrine is not that bold, bright, orangey yellow that we see in commercial citrine. That, you know, that's been radiated, and there's nothing wrong with radiated citrine. It still has the same energy. But natural citrine itself is more of a golden brown, actually, and it could also be quite beautiful. And citrine stimulates creativity, which we talked about is, you know, we really need to be creative to create abundance. But the other nice thing about citrine is that it feeds the will. It feeds our solar plexus. And when we have a strong solar plexus, we become very decisive. And we are willing and able to take action to resolve difficult situations. So a lot of times what happens is this lack of abundance becomes a snowballing effect in our life, right? So, I feel like I don't have enough of something, and then that becomes, well, now I don't have enough of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about using citrine, we can really use citrine to strengthen the will to assist us in overcoming feelings of being undeserving of abundance. Because if we don't believe that we deserve an abundant life, then we're creating this gap in abundance, because that's where we believe, you know, that's what we believe we deserve. That's where we believe we should be living. So citrine can really help to kind of flick that switch in our solar plexus and move us into a place of confidence by getting us through that difficult period and helping us to see that, you know, everyone deserves an abundant life, and then setting about, you know, making the plan for how we're going to get there.
Wow, it's very profound. And I will be experimenting in my head in my show discussing stones. Now, if folks want to learn more about you and the Amber Dragon, how can they find you?
So you can follow us on Facebook. And you can follow me on Instagram as the Amber Dragon. Every morning I do just a little picture and, a motivational saying on Instagram. And on Facebook I also post
for part of that, Linda. Sorry, can you repeat it?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Facebook.
Okay.
Or you can also... you can follow me on Instagram as well. I do a little motivational post with an original picture and, you know, some poetry or a motivational statement every morning. You can drop down by the Amber Dragon and say hello and let me know that, you know, you found me through Hercules. We're open every weekend, Saturdays and Sundays, and during the week we have meditation circles on Thursday nights, and next Thursday, this Thursday I'm not sure about with the weather, but next Thursday, the 23rd, I believe it is, we'll also be doing a intro to Wicca class at the Dragon
awesome.
As well. Yes.
And
you can also reach me through say it again.
No, go ahead. Finish up.
You can also send me an email to oystermoon@msn.com if you have any crystal questions or anything that I can help you with. I'm more than happy to do that.
And I love going to the Ember Dragon. It is a phenomenally awesome place and on a variety of different levels, so I highly recommend it. We'll be having Linda on again very soon. And also, although it's not time for it to happen, I guess, yet, there will eventually be a segment with Linda and Athena Victory, my wife, on the goddess to bring that more into the program. So that will unfold when it unfolds. Thank you very much, Linda, for being with us tonight.
Well, thank you, Hercules, and light and love to Athena as well. And we missed you at the Dragon, and we're really looking forward to seeing you next month.
Say hi to everybody for me, both family and Amber Dragon family.
I certainly will do that.
Okay, thank you very much, Linda. Take good care.
Thank you. Blessed be.
Blessed be. Okay, we had a wonderful night. And another step forward in our understanding of the Argonaut legend with the Golden Fleece. Next week, we're returning to Theurgy, and we will be talking to the author of a Llewellyn book on Theurgy. And let me get that name again here. Okay, Jean-Louis de Biasi, Rediscover the Magic of the Gods and Goddesses. Everybody, thank you for joining us, and have a wonderful evening. Joyous journeys and many happy adventures.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.